other day to a shiur from Rabbi Friend, and he mentioned the Haftarah of Yom Kippur. And I'm thinking to myself, Haftarah of Yom Kippur, it's such a moving Haftarah, and sitting up thinking about it, I don't even remember, because, we know there's a Mafter Yonah, that's the famous one, the one that people pay $30,000 to $40,000 for, and Hasidic shuls, and then they don't even read it because they don't read from the scroll. Now, there's an interesting halacha when it comes to haftaras. The haftarah, if it's read from a printing, then technically you're not yotze by listening. You have to read it yourself. If it's read from a scroll, then you're yotze by listening. And the Hasidim don't believe in reading from scrolls. And therefore, the guy that buys the Mafter Yonah, so basically he's reading it from the paper edition, and he's not motzi anybody, and everybody else is reading along with him, so they can't even hear him. So it's kind of, I don't understand why. It's a big kavod though. But for example, in Beit Chilkiah, they recently did a couple of years ago, they ran a fund to have the Nevi'im written. And so now we have it in klav, so I always try and remember, okay, this one is a klav, this one isn't klav, this one I have to read, this one I don't have to read, but... Right, in any case, the truth is, I wanted to ask if you have a Yeshaya here. I don't have the time to go get one from my house, so I figured that everybody has one. In any case, the truth is that after realizing how ignorant I was in the Haftarah of the morning of Yom Kippur, I decided that it would be a wise thing to actually go through it a little bit. And what I discovered was that it really is an amazing Haftarah. And due to the length of the tefillah, we tend to, it tends to be passé. We just skip right over it, and we don't really pay any attention. The importance of which, however, is that the Navi gets into the issue of what we need to do to improve ourselves in order that the fasting means something. It mentions, this is in Yeshaya, it's in chapter Nunchet. When going from Hebrew to English, it's chapter Nunchet. It's a bit of a kilayim, but what are you going to do? I was once by a friend's in Shalavim, and a Shalom Zachar. A good friend of mine gets up and he says, "L'kavod the Eruah, I'm going to be speaking in English." And every third word, it's yeshiva. It's really yeshivish. Yeshivish is the new Yiddish. So it's an amazing thing. Yiddish is interesting. When I first got married, my father-in-law, Lava Shalom, he grew up, he was born in Iran, and the area that he lived in, the mother tongue was Aramaic. So when I first got married, I went to the minhag is that when you first get married, it's too late for most of you here, I think, or all of you here. You go to your in-laws for the first chag. The first chag was Pesach. So I went to Belgium, where my father-in-law was living at the time. And he sits down at the table. His brother came over. They both escaped out of Iran. It was an interesting story. Not for today, clearly. They were both living in Belgium. They get into a conversation in Aramaic. So I said to myself, I'm a yeshiva guy. I should be able to understand this, right? So I'm sitting there with my ear to the, wide open. And it's like every third word, maybe I could understand something of it. I heard like, Siada. Okay, wait a second, slow down. That means moon. The truth is, it was interesting. They were having a conversation about what they learned in Cheder when they were growing up in a small village in Iran, and what their Baba Moshe had taught them about the four people. Who were the four people that entered the Pardes? Right, do you ever know the story? Rabbi Akiva and Ben Zoma and Elisha Ben Abuya. And who was number four?
It was just Dafyom. Like,
what?
It was just Dafyom.
I don't learn Dafyom.
I can identify it wasn't. I can't tell you the four. I can identify that it was Dafyom.
I know three out of four. That's at least 75% on the test. So. All right. The truth is that, getting back to the topic, though, that I discovered that... why did I bring that? I brought that up because Aramaic in the Gemara, it turns out, is actually Yiddish. Because Jews, wherever we went, we took the spoken language and we mixed it with Hebrew and we came up with our own language. And it's the same as true with Ladino, the same as true with Yiddish, whether it was in Russian or Russia or in Bulgaria. That's what we did. We just made our own language by mixing Hebrew and Yiddish together and the local language together. In any case, the Navi in Yeshaya, on the one hand, he starts out and he lets the people have it. He tells the people, here you are, you're going through the motions. You're fasting.
Right? I'll read the psukim and I'll translate, because I really feel that this is a message which, after so many things have happened this year, you know, towards the end of the war, I decided, everybody was telling me they have this app. Yes, it's on record now that there's a, you know, there's an app with called the what was it the siren app.
What?
Seva Adom. Thank you. And I said to myself, you know, here I am. I live in an area. I'm sure you all relate to this. I live in an area. We do get the occasional siren, but you know, one of something we don't get it that often. Baruch Hashem, out of all the missiles that were fired over there, I said I really don't feel what everybody else is going through. So I said to myself, I'll put on the app, and that way let's see what happens. Aside from killing my battery, which it did within 4 hours that my battery was done. But you see exactly what the rest of the country is going through, and all of a sudden you get a feeling for what's really going on. I heard a great story about there was a certain Talmud that came to the Ponovitch Rav. He was a this is obviously at the time of the Yom Kippur War, and he was the modern American student in Ponovitch. His parents demanded that he come back for the Chagim, and he was torn. He said to his Rebbe, "What should I do?" And on the one hand, my parents want me to come back. On the other hand, I'd like to stay in the yeshiva. And the Ponovitcher Rav told him, you should stay in the yeshiva, because if you don't stay in the yeshiva, you're going to miss some great things. Now, what was he going to... What happened at the end was that he went back. He couldn't stand the pressure. He went back to the Chagim. And when he came back, he said, what did I miss? And the answer that the Ponovitcher Rav told him was, he says, you missed all the sirens. And I want you to know, he said, that each and every siren was a shofar blast for us. You know, each and every siren that goes, we might have gotten used to it to some extent, but we picked ourselves up, and even in the middle of the nights, there was something that woke up inside of us and said, I'm in danger, and I need to do something. You know, you take your family to the mamad, and you'd sit there and you'd say some tehillim, right, assuming you were awake enough to do so if it was the middle of the night. But at the end of the day, you feel that you're there. And that's that. He said that was something that he missed. So Navi here speaks about this. And he says the following. It's Pasuk K. He says, HaKazei Yetzom Evchareu. Is this the type of tzom that I would choose? Yomonot Adam Nasho. You see a person who is afflicting himself. Halakaf Ka'agmon Rosho. You see him bent over like an agmon. I don't exactly know what an agmon is. Do you know what an agmon is?
It's agmon, right?
I don't know.
Bent over like this, right?
It means to be extremely bent over. You know, sometimes you go and you see these people on Yom Kippur that they're bent over. Their heads are practically touching the floor, and they, that's how they're davening. And he says, "Lakafka agmon rosho v'sak ve'efer yatzia." You're going to put on a sack. You're going to put ashes on your head. Halzetik ratzon v'yom ratzon l'Hashem. That's really what Hashem wants. That you go through the motions, and the outwardly you're doing everything. And the real question, he says, is what are you doing it for? So he says, most people that would do this, this is a public display. It was so that your neighbor knew that you were in the mood. Your neighbor could see that you were doing everything you were supposed to do. But at the end of the day, afterwards they would call out, and nothing would happen. They would cry to Hashem, change the situation, and that would be it. Nothing would happen. He says, "Halozos zet som efchareu." You let me tell you what the type of fast is that I choose. P'tach chartzuvot resha. Open up inside of you the chartzuvot resha. The mafarshim get into it a little bit. They say that in each and every one of us, there's an aspect of resha. There's something inside of us that we need to take a good close look at ourselves. On the inwardly, what resha do I have inside of it? I have to open up what's what's blocking me, what's making me retain. The resha. The truth is that I recently, this past year, had an interesting experience. I worked for an organization called Nefesh Yehudi, which is an organization that we give lectures to university students here in Israel, religious university students. And they decided that in order to get the students to come, so they have to have the lecturers all have to have a degree. Because that way they can offer them credits as an extra bonus. And up until now, they've been offering them some money. If they can offer them credits as well, so that's another better incentive. So this past year, I went and I finished a degree in education. And among the things that we learned there, we had one course in coaching. And the guy that was teaching the coaching thought a very interesting thing. He said, most people, he says, what the biggest problem is, they know what they want, but they don't realize what they have right now and what they want to have instead.
And he says, therefore, if you really want to get a person to change, you have to sit down with them and you have to say, okay, this is what you want, that's fine. What do you have right now? What do you gain by the present situation that you're in? What do you gain by the attitude and the actions that you're doing now? I mean, obviously, if you're doing something, and you know, many of us, when we do it, we repeat it, and when we repeat it, we do it a third time, and a fifth time, and 100 times. So what's making you do it now? So he says, first of all, you have to recognize, what are your benefits now? And once you know what your benefits are now, you can then compare it to the benefits you want to get and decide what's better for you. You know, are you willing to give up what you have now? That's really the question that he has. So they say, first of all, no. Patach hartzavot resha. You have to open up inside of you the blocks that are making you retain the resha. Hater agudot mate. You should release the bundles of mota. Mota, the mafarshim here, they go through several understandings. I'll read you the parish of the Radak. One second. Here, Hater Agadot Moteh, the Radak says, it's another aspect of Resha. You know, we have big acts of Resha, he says, and we have smaller acts of Resha. This is another type of thing. This is all internal, he says. Veshalach Ritzutzim Chofshim Vekol Motah Tenateku. He says you should also release the Ritzutzim, which is referring to the Avadim in the times of Chazal, when we kept Yovel. One of the reasons why the destruction came about was the Chazal tell us that the people would not release the slaves in the Shemitah year. Baruch Hashem, we're in the Shemitah year now. If we had Jewish slaves, then this is the time that they'd be released. It goes on to say the following. Okay, for many of us, the first part is Shayach. This part might not make. Okay, the Avadim that we have nowadays, you know, are not that common, and you know, hopefully we'll have help around the house, but usually it's. We're the Avadim, so we're kind of not going to be let free. He goes on to say the following, though, and this is very important. Halo pros l'ra'ev lachmecha va'aniim merudim tavi bayit. Give of your bread to the poor man. L'ra'ev, to a person who's hungry. Va'aniim merudim tavi bayit. And if you see people that are suffering in their poverty, bring them into your house. Ki tireh arom bekisito. You see someone who's naked and you dress him up. And he ends up and says, and from your family, from mi b'sarcha, literally from your flesh, do not ignore them. If we do this, it goes on to say the following. Az yibaka keshachar orecha. If you do that, he says, your light will spread like the dawn. Right, just as the dawn, as the sun comes up, the light explodes on the land, so too your light will also explode, v'orkotecha mehera titzmach, and the breadth of your deeds will be spread very quickly. V'alach lefanecha tzidkecha kavod Hashem yasfecha. The tzedek that you do will walk in front of you in all ways. Now the truth is that if I want to just say an etza here that I saw in the Radak, he says, ka'orcha, we said here, v'orkotecha mehera titzmach, he says, orkotecha is the lashon of refuah. He says, if a person is suffering, if a person is sick, chas v'shalom, one of the greatest benefits that he can do is work on a tzedakah v'chesed. He says, a person who deals with tzedakah v'chesed, that is the clearest thing which will bring about his eventual healing. Okay, so I know, chas v'shalom, there are many people out there that are suffering in one way or another, whether it be physical ailments or lo alein, or in other ways. So this is the etzah that they say. And then what happens? As tikra v'ashem ya'aneh, tishaveh v'yomar hineni. That, if you do this, when you call out, Hashem will answer, you'll cry out, and I will say Hineni. Now, Rabbi Fran mentioned a very interesting thing. He says, the word Hineni appears 14 times in all of Tanakh. In every place that it appears, it always refers to somebody who is subordinate answering the person that they're subordinate to. Right? It's Yosef, Yaakov Avinu calls Yosef, and he says Hineni. Right? Yosef is the subordinate. When Avram Avinu is told by Hashem to bring Yitzchak as an Ola, he says Hineni. The subordinate always answers and says Hineni. But in this instance, all of a sudden, it's the opposite. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, we call and Hashem says Hineni. What's going on? And the answer is that if we succeed in doing this, if we keep the aspects of dealing with what's going on, the social needs, the needs of the neighbor, the needs of the poor, and lo alein, we all know how many people there are nowadays that are suffering, and how many people don't have a parnasa, and how many people need help. right? Whether it be not only for financial reasons, but for many other reasons as well. If we open up our hearts to these people, and we do the introspection that the Navi spoke about before, then when we call out, we will be answered. Now this is very relevant to what we say in the tefillah. Right? I'm sorry. Tshuva. Tshuva, tefillah, tshuva is the personal introspection. That a person has to be able to take a look at himself, a good close look at himself, and see, am I holding on? Am I retaining the resha? Right? Do I have something that I need to remove, some block that's preventing me from moving forward? That's my personal introspection. That's what the Navi spoke about first. Then we have the tzedakah, which is going on. That's the ani, that's the marud, that's the person who's in need, which we can help out. And lastly, we say, if we do those first two things, then when I call out, Hashem will answer. Obviously, I don't think this requires a lot of explanation. But I do think that it requires that when we read this on Yom Kippur, when we read this Bezrat Hashem, it's, you know, 24 hours, we're going to be standing, all of us together, and in the tefillahs of Yom Kippur, you know, a little bit more than that, we'll be standing, we'll be reading the Torah. We really need to take a good look at ourselves and our attitudes towards ourselves and our attitudes towards our neighbors. Because the truth is that we see, you know, those of you that are connected with me with LinkedIn, I've had some interesting conversations with some people in the groups there about we see what's going on in the world. Right? The world is becoming more and more inhospitable to us as a nation. It doesn't matter where we are. You know, we've for years and years and years, we Jews, especially those that are still in America, are saying it can't happen in America. But we don't learn the lessons of history. There isn't a single country in the world that we were sure it wouldn't happen there too. But we were kicked out of every single country. And as the world goes on, and we see Yishmael spreading throughout the world, we have to ask ourselves, when Chazal said the last of the Galuyot was Galut Yishmael, is that happening now? Is this the last of the Simanim, that the Mashiach is on his way, and that we're going to be living through the time which many of Chazal said, I don't want to be there? Gemara in Sanhedrin says that many of the Gdolei Chacham said, I don't want to live through the times of the Mashiach. It's going to be terrible. But we don't have to do that. We don't have to go through the suffering. Because at the end of the day, Mashiach will come in one of two ways. He will either come Be'ito. Be'ito means it's the time that Hashem set aside, whatever it may be. Or it'll be Ba'achishema. Ba'achishema, the way to make it happen faster, that's exactly what the Navi says. The Navi says introspection, tshuva. The Navi says chesed, tzedakah, right? Chesed is greater than tzedakah. But look out for your neighbors. Don't be a person that lives only for yourself and your family. Obviously, you have to put your family first, because one of the things it mentioned, and the Gemara in Yevamah says, is don't ignore your family. There are so many people that unfortunately, within the family, they don't get along. They don't even remember why. 20 years ago, something happened, and since then, they didn't speak to the sister, the brother, the uncle, the aunt, and there's no connection between the family. But if we know how to use this, if we recognize that our family is a symbol not only for me, but it's a symbol for my connection to the Ribono Shel Olam, then when we call, Hashem will say Hineni. And Bezrat Hashem, that's a real message that we need for today. Yiratzon, I'm going to stop here, Yiratzon, that we should follow through the lessons of the Navi. We should take it to heart. Right? There's nobody that doesn't need improvement. There's nobody that can't take a look over his shoulder at his neighbors around him, at the people of his community, and at all of Am Yisrael, and find something that in which I can do something which nobody else can. And then, Bezrat Hashem, we as a nation, when we call, Hashem will answer and say, Hineni.
Where are we with
who
has the Navi?
I have a doubt.
You what? You have a doubt.
I have not a doubt.
The reason you have a doubt.